Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Arturo.
Hello everyone.
And Gozugoz.
Happy Urepi Urepikune!
In today's episode we're talking about Bayonetta Bloody Fate, which released in 2013. Didn't really have a reason to choose this one, it was just next on the list because I got a list of anime that we can cover. I was going to come up with a reason that I chose this, but I forgot to fill that part of my notepad in.
Wow.
It was animated by Gonzo, the company behind Full Metal Panic, Transformers Cybertron, Rosario Plus Vampire, and one of my favourite anime, My Bride is a Mermaid.
Oh shit.
Bayonetta Bloody Fate has a My Anime List score of 6.62.
That's good.
The plot follows Bayonetta as she recovers her memories and kills angels and God? Question mark.
Basically.
So to start off, what's everyone's experience with Bayonetta? Gauze, we'll start with you.
Platinum Games is probably one of my favorite, probably my favorite game developer. So I've been familiar with the franchise. I didn't play the second one though. Not yet, because it's Switch exclusive, and I don't use my Switch quite a lot.
Okay, that's fair. It'll probably be ported to the PC at some point.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Arturo, what about you?
I don't have much of an experience with Bayonetta. I've known of her existence, and I've learned. I was extremely shocked the first time I found out she had freaking a hair demon or something, and that's when I started avoiding the game actively, because I was like, well, that's weird, that sounds stupid, and so I just decided not to play it anymore, and that's it, really.
That sounds stupid, not a ninja controlling sand.
Okay, you know what? There's a big difference, okay? One of them is sand, and the other one is hair. I find hair repulsive. It's dead cells, okay?
Okay, okay. My experience with Bayonetta is that I watched Gauze stream it on the Game Grin Twitch channel earlier today.
Oh, well, if we're counting our experience that way, I was watching a playthrough at double speed like a couple of hours ago. Everything goes extremely fast when you're watching in double speed.
No.
She was going pew pew really fast, and I was like, what's happening? Angels died everywhere. I was just
pew pew. It's something that's, I'm not really big on go from one area to another area, just kill, 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 another area, kill, 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 another area, kill, kill, kill.
Hack and slash.
And it's basically all Platinum games do. I've played Transformers Devastation and nothing else that they've put out, because it's just all the same thing with a different skin. I know they're well made and they're great games, and you could say the same thing about the Saints Row series, but it's just something that hasn't appealed to me.
Yeah, I was more, joke society now, apart from the hair demon, I really didn't care for the game, because hack and slash, I believe the last one I played was Devil May Cry. And then after that, I started getting kind of tired of them, because it's just, you just click the same button and it feels so unfulfilling.
This is kind of related, but for the Ghost Rider video game anniversary, I've been playing the game, and it is just like at least early Devil May Cry games where, well, it's like I just said, you go from one place to another place and just beat up demons and then go to another place and beat up more demons.
I mean, that's the bad version of that kind of game, I think. I also played Ghost Rider game, by the way, because at one point I wanted to play a Ghost Rider game, and that was the one I found, and it was terrible. And I mean, terrible in a sense, it's so like God of War got made because of the popularity of Devil May Cry, but God of War was basically simplified Devil May Cry. And Ghost Rider is simplified God of War.
And it came out just before God of War 2.
The big draw of those games is how creative you can get with dispatching enemies and on top of like dealing with different enemy types that require you to deal with them in a certain way. And like, if you just make all combos feel like the same thing, then what's the point? Like, they look different, whatever.
At least at Bayonetta, they were certainly theatric, I say.
I find it really interesting that it seems like that game genre has just pretty much died out. You don't see that very often nowadays when it was so famous back then.
That might be why people are looking forward to Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, it's a drought in the genre. I guess you can kind of count Kingdom Hearts in that genre as well.
I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say Kingdom Hearts is that kind of game. Like, again, it's really simplified compared to, like, even the first Devil May Cry. And I wouldn't say that there was many games in that genre at all. Because it's like Devil May Cry took it, beat 'em ups, basically, made it more complex and more satisfying, I think. And all the enemy design and boss design was great. And there's certainly games where you just beat up enemies. I mean, back to, what is it, SNES, Final Fight, or arcades even, Final Fight, and Streets of Rage and stuff like that. Yeah, those were much simpler, and they were also basically side-scrollers. I don't think you got that many of them. Like, it's certainly not comparable to, like, FPS, or shooters in general, third-person shooters, first-person shooters.
Well, we can debate that on the Greencast podcast, the weekly gaming podcast. But we'll actually start talking about Bayonetta Bloody Fate here. So it starts off with us getting a long, long expedition dump from this voiceover telling us how Bayonetta's parents were, one's an angel and one's a witch, which are apparently the opposites.
One's a sage and one's a witch. Sages follow light and witches darkness. And they both are supposed to keep balance or something.
Right. And they produce a child, so the man gets banished and the woman is imprisoned.
In the kitchen.
It had to be said.
Later we see the woman who's been imprisoned, but she's the leader of the witches? Something?
Oh, wait for a prequel.
I mean, my assumption is that since this did take place, because later on we did find out that it took place 500 years later, so she must have escaped somehow.
I thought she was in the lake for 500 years, or was that 300 years?
Wasn't that Bayonetta?
Yeah, that was Bayonetta. She was in the lake. I guess Mom was imprisoned metaphorically or something. I don't know. Didn't really matter to me. It was Mom.
Well, the beginning, you know, the explanation of their religions and all that was so much more confusing than it needed to be. I understood it as the movie went on, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's just basically good and evil. Like, but when they went there explaining it, there's like the left eye and the right eye and the creator, and I was like, what is happening? Who wrote this? I like the creativity. I'm not judging it. But I do think that it was explained in a way more complicated manner than it needed to be.
Well, you know who wrote this? Not the writer of the game.
I see the problem.
I looked it up. The same guy wrote the X-Men anime series from 2011, which was okay-ish.
I do have to say, though, that I was severely impressed with the visuals in the movie. It's probably easily the prettiest one we've watched, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, can't argue that.
I thought it was good until action started, and then it just didn't work for me.
You don't like action in any of these things we've watched.
No, I liked... What? I liked action. I wasn't sarcastic when I said I like action.
You didn't like Street Fighters, nor Tekkens. You didn't like Pokemons. Wait, no, what? That was...
I'm pretty sure I liked all of those.
You didn't like the fighting scenes in Animal Crossing.
There was no fighting scenes.
There totally was. They were fighting for the fossil.
The ones were fighting each other. They were fighting wall? Ice? Water? They were fighting water.
Face first. I couldn't help notice that there was one animation that repeated several times throughout the movie, and that's when Bayonetta summoned her demon clothes, hair, whatever the hell.
I think it was two times only.
I thought it happened three times.
I don't know.
Because it's like every time she summons it, she does the same movement in the exact same way with the frames the exact way, and it's like a plain background, so they don't have to show where she currently is.
Oh.
Which is a genius move, and very cinematic. It was a bad idea.
I mean, whatever, like, when Power Rangers transform, they always do the same shit.
Yeah, because that's a weekly show on a limited budget.
I don't know. Whatever.
I do have to say, though, that the first fight that they had against the angel, well, sorry, the Bayonetta had against the angels seemed quite fitting to the one that you see in the game. I don't know, the way it was animated, first of all, the way that her clothes were just cut off and then she went into her demon hair clothes, yuck. It felt really fitting and it seemed really similar to the game, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff taken straight from the game. There was some dialogue that was repeated, at least that first section that I saw you play, Gauze. And the way she landed on her car, it was a different person's car, but she still landed the exact same way during the fight in the same place on the car.
I'm going to say, though, that I don't personally mind that. I think it's something good because it's actually taking lore from the game directly rather than, you know, just creating something new that eventually ends up feeling uncomfortable and just wrong.
I mean, certain things did make me feel uncomfortable, the way she kept licking her lips and...
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Things kept turning her on while she's constantly summoning a demon. It's like... Ugh.
And apparently it's a stackable effect because she's like, I can't get any more turned on. You've reached the maximum stacks of turn on.
And then she has like a handbag of stuff in her cleavage. She keeps pulling things out, and then the stuff behind her, I can understand. She's like pulling it out of her demon hair clothes.
I loved it.
Yeah, her breasts are just an endless magical bag.
She just pulls everything out of there.
And I really like the sexual reference of the lollipop, just very subtly put in there.
Yeah, subtle. That's what this movie was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've described the movie in one word, subtle. I was surprised that they decided to just keep it PG after, you know, everything else.
How was it?
Well, you don't see she's covered in the game as well, so.
I mean, yeah, they didn't show nips, but I just wondered if it's actually rated as PG.
Probably not, but I don't know what you were getting at.
Yeah, I think I was specifically shocked because of both Tekken and... Wait, does Street Fighter show breasts?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just surprised of both. Like, I guess I've gotten used to seeing breasts, and I was like, wait, they're covering her with hair? Impossible.
I mean, that was a different time. They're more careful with that nowadays.
I thought it might be because the dub was done by Funimation, so I checked the Japanese version. That's also covered. I was curious. As the movie goes on, she has these fights and learns that someone who has something to do with her past is in this other place, so gets on a train. The train is attacked by someone who is basically her colour swapped. We first see, well, Bayonetta first meets her as she's on a motorbike that is on a glowing disc on the side of a mountain. And I thought, just why bother with the motorbike at that point? You've got the glowing disc that's clearly taking you places.
I mean, glowing disc just makes you sticky. Makes you stick to walls. That's what happens in the game too.
Yeah, that's what happens in the game, but it's not explained what this disc is in the movie. I don't think they don't really use it for running up walls and ceilings.
There's another thing I wasn't sure. Do the characters appear faded in the game too? Is this a reference to anything, or was it more of a theatrical choice of showing you which character's point of view you were looking at? Because several times it changed, and Bayonetta was the one that was kind of see-through. And then the other times it was Cheshire that was see-through, and I was like, what? I didn't know.
Yeah, it's to help you distinguish whose point of view you're seeing, because normal people can't see Bayonetta or the angels, etc.
I see. I really did appreciate that. I liked it. I felt like the movie was really well made in some aspects of it.
Although for most of it, I did not realize. Well, for any of it, I did not realize that Luca or Cheshire could not actually see Bayonetta, just smell her scent. Because maybe I looked away at those times, but it seemed that every time we were seeing things through Luca's eyes, he could see Bayonetta.
Yeah, he physically can't see her most of the time.
And yet, when we first meet him in the game, she can't.
He can't.
I wasn't aware of that.
He can't, sorry.
I thought that he always saw her.
Well, she does a little purple circle in the air, and she goes through it, and that's basically how she moves between different planes of existence or whatever. At the start of the anime, I believe he can see her, and she goes through the circle to fight the angels that show up.
Yeah, you're right. That does happen. There was one thing back to, you know, her fight with the lady and the motorcycle, whatever. I was the way they were just basically color swapped made me believe, since I didn't know anything about Bayonetta, that it was just going to be like her, but like her angel side, since she's just born of two. And I was like, that's going to be an interesting plot twist.
Yeah, I thought the same. I thought Bayonetta is the witch's side and Lady in Red is the angel's side.
Yeah, I was so excited, but...
Because you don't see her attack any angels. But then in the game, the first time you see her, she's fighting angels.
Alongside Bayonetta, might I add.
Yeah.
I was really appreciative that on that first scene of the game, they also took the outfit that she uses later on in the movie. It's the same one that appears on the first scene, and I really like that. It felt like a nice attention to detail, because everything feels just properly built, and they did take a lot of details from the game.
Oh, something that happens towards the end of the movie. Lady in Red has a remote control to launch a missile at Bayonetta.
Yep.
And yet she's on Bayonetta's side.
What? She
I was confused by that.
Yeah, she stood on top of a building. The top of the building opens up. The lady in red presses a button on a remote, and this massive missile launches out and attacks the helicopter.
Oh, shit. I think I missed that one.
My assumption was that she kept trying to like recover her memories through attacking her. So I was like, I don't know, maybe just a giant missile is just like the final straw.
But that does... It doesn't tell us she's on Bayonetta's side or friendly in any way towards Bayonetta, because she's just tried to blow her up with a missile that looks like it was there because of the angels.
For the record, though, on the first fight, she actually beats Bayonetta and just lets her go away. So that's what kind of hinted at me that they were more friendly than not.
I mean, she's kind of a wild card, I guess. I mean, the same thing as in the game. Although, I think in the game she's supposed to be mind-controlled in a way, but I don't know. I think it works either way, like they are rivals and whatever, she wants to fight her to recover her memory, whatever. I thought it worked.
Oh, going back to Luca for a second, he's constantly on about Bayonetta killed. You killed my father. And Bayonetta's telling him no. It was an accident, or I didn't do that, whatever. And instead of trying to talk to her about it or anything, he's constantly accusing her. If she killed your father, why is she not dealt with you in the same way? Clearly you're an annoyance to her.
I don't know. I felt like she didn't find him that annoying. I think she's more amused by his existence. And I think that was just more irritating. Especially because she might have had a good reason to kill the father, in his point of view, of course. And he might just feel resentful about that. But I was confused about his like overall dynamic with her. He was trying to take pictures of her to expose her to the world. But why? Aren't witches common? Or like ish? Because I know the religions died around 500 years ago. Which is another thing. When everyone got imprisoned, when the witch and the sage got imprisoned and exiled, apparently everything just decided to die out. So. Seems like a bad idea when literally the birth of the child dictates Armageddon, but what do I know?
On the whole, I thought that the movie was not written very well. The story doesn't make sense. The dialogue is awkward and it's trying to be witty, but it's just not. It just falls flat a lot of the time.
Mm. Oh, about the, like, witches and exposing to the public, whatever. I thought that's, like, this magical stuff is supposed to be, like, hidden. I mean, because of the two planes of existence where normal people can't see the angels, just that stuff explodes, basically. I guess it wasn't just very well shown that normal people, that there's a normal world out there that's not concerned with this stuff.
But see, what confuses me is that at the beginning and near the beginning of the movie, they start talking about the sages that are committing suicide and are sacrificing themselves to the god of creation. So that led me to believe that the religions are still standing and they're more, you know, accustomed to magic. So that's what was very confusing and just not very well explained.
That plot actually never went anywhere.
No, it didn't. Like, the god never actually rebirthed, and I don't think they stopped it. Did they?
They killed it. No, they didn't.
I think that thing where Bayonetta became one eye and Dad became the other eye, that was the god, I think.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Again, so much stuff is not actually explained. And it took until I was watching you play the game, Gus, that I realized that there are, like, demons, devils in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the witches were, like, the quote-unquote evil of the against the angels, not just a, like, third faction. Because the guy who runs the bar, he's a demon, or suggested to be a demon. But in the movie, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming, I guess, the eye is supposed to be indicator, but nothing was really explained properly. I only really knew that the demons existed because of her hair demon, which is also another thing. Do they control demons, or?
Yeah, how did she get that thing? Is it joined to her, or is it possessing her? Or?
I think she uses her hair to summon demons.
Doesn't the other girl do too? She has one too, no?
Yes.
So. Yeah. What? A lot of things were just unexplained. However, despite that, I actually did quite enjoy the movie. I really liked the dynamic a lot of the characters had. And a lot of even some of the side characters, like the kind that runs the bar, I really cared for them because they seemed really charming. The movie basically convinced me to try to play Bayonetta at least once.
Yeah, I think just the game also is very more character driven than story driven. Like, the overall story doesn't, I mean, it's the story to hang gameplay on, and it's more about characters and the character development, or Bayonetta specifically. So, like, I wasn't bothered that stuff wasn't explained, like, and also, you know that I like schlock, so if something doesn't make sense, I don't try to dig deeper and try to understand it. It's just, this happens now, and that's what it means for this character. That's fine. That's the point, I think.
Yeah, and for the record, I didn't fault the movie too much because I felt a lot of this was probably explained in the games, and I felt it was more my mistake for jumping into the movie first rather than vice versa, because I don't think the intended form of experiencing this media is watching the movie and then playing the game, but more like an extension to the game. So I didn't really fault the movie too much for not explaining these things. I faulted more myself for not knowing.
Okay, well, I'll ask, like I ask every episode, was this a good adaptation?
Yes.
I think, yeah. Not only did it take all the lines from the games, well, not all, of course, but some lines from the games, but the fight scenes felt really similar to what you get to see in the game, so I definitely think so.
Yeah.
Under this heading, I actually wrote, I hope it's not that this was not a good adaptation, because apparently people love these games.
How do you feel?
I didn't really like this movie.
I mean, I think people like the movie, those games, and this specific niche genre in general because of the weird, crazy stuff that happens. I think that's the draw. And I thought that the movie delivered on that. I mean, demons summoned with hair, clothes made with hair, hair that are just hair, and hair on the chest of a demon who owns a bar. I don't know if he had chest hair. I just made that up to make it more compelling.
Because he was bald.
Hair that's missing.
Okay, well, we'll finish things up with, do you think it's a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh? Arthur?
You're going to hate me for this, but a thumbs up.
I don't hate you for having an opinion. Gauze?
I'm a bit, like, on, like, between meh and thumbs up, because I think I will give it a thumbs up, ultimately, because, like, I like those kinds of, this kind of weird shit. And there's other people who would. So, yeah. I think it wouldn't work for general audience that want, like, well-structured story and want everything to add up very well. But if you want to see hair, I mean, weird stuff, demons, guns on legs, acrobatics, whatever, then yeah, you'll enjoy that. And characters are likable.
Okay. Personally, I gave it a thumbs down. I was kind of bored and confused by a lot of it. And if you come to it from the games, you'll probably enjoy it. If you come go from this to the games, you'll probably enjoy the games more because you've already experienced the franchise at its lowest.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
I will say this, at least now I know why there's so much Rule 34 for this damn franchise.
Oh, I had no idea.
Surprisingly, when I was writing the Pornhub articles, I was like, I have to check Bayonetta because, like, I know there's a lot of Rule 34. No, she didn't make the top five.
That's surprising.
I know,
I didn't find the game to be that
obscene.
I don't know how to describe it. It had lots of innuendo and it was shameless about a lot of stuff, but it wasn't attracted to me like erotica can be in that way. It was weird stuff, and I enjoyed that creative voice of Hideki Kamiya, who just thought, fuck it, I'm gonna do naked woman, innuendo, hair. It always comes down to hair.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And that's it. Thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrid.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.